hundreds, sometimes even thousands, who are tuning in online. All right, John chapter 13, if you found your place or if you've turned on your phone or your tablet, we're going to look here at continuing in the same story that Jesus has, that has been going on. The disciples are gathered in the upper room, having their kind of their final gathering, their kind of their going away. They don't realize it, but their going away meeting with Jesus before his crucifixion. Jesus has now washed their feet and explain that to them, and immediately from that, and I think it's important to look at that and to keep that in the background, in particular one verse in the beginning of the 13th chapter, when the Bible says that Jesus loved them till the end. And so there's two things I want to remind you of as we move into this section this morning. I talked about it several weeks ago, and that was when Jesus was washing feet, Judas was still in the room. And so Jesus even washed the feet of Judas. When he says he loved them till the end, Judas was still in the crowd. It doesn't exclude Judas. And then yet, we're going to pick up this morning and look, but even with that backdrop, we're going to look at a traitor in the crowd. We're going to look at Judas, who is going to betray Jesus. And so this morning I want us to look at that with this topic, the traitor's tale. Let's talk for a moment about this traitor. I think this passage is a picture for us, obviously, of Judas. And we all know about Judas, and we all, you know, there's a reason you don't, you know, you get every elementary school in America, and you won't find any little boy on the playground named Judas. There's a reason that we don't use that name. There's a reason for that. We all know we use that as an insult, even to talk about someone who betrays us. And so even with that background, we know the story. I think there's an application for us this morning in this story that reminds us that, as the Bible says in another location, that everybody that says, Lord, Lord, not everybody that is hanging around Jesus is honestly a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Just because there were 12 there and they had followed him throughout his entire earthly ministry, we know that one was a traitor. We know that everyone that comes to church or everyone that parks in the parking lot is not a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Just because we put on the clothes, just because we carry the big Bible, just because we go to the church service, sing in the choir, preach in the pulpit, does not mean that we are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. We know that the Bible talks about in many different ways. Talks about the division of the wheat and the tares. It talks about how there will be those in the field, one taken, one left, in the end days. And so we know that everyone that follows along, again, Judas was in the closest of Jesus' followers, and yet he is a traitor. And so let's look this morning at this story as Jesus is going to, he's going to call Judas out, really. He's going to identify his betrayer. He's going to identify the man who will betray him. Now, the other 11, they don't get it. Remember, Judas obviously was a well-trusted disciple. The Bible tells us in other locations that he was the the word I'm going to use is the treasurer for the disciples. Even after this passage of scripture, when Jesus calls him out and he gets up and leaves, the other disciples assume that he's going to make preparations, going to buy something. They have no clue. And so obviously, for 3 years, Judas has been a good-looking follower, hanger, arounder, not sure that's a word, of Jesus Christ. But when it came down to the crunch time, Judas was a traitor. And so the first thing I want you to notice in this passage, and I want to look at this for a moment in verse 18 of chapter 13, the Bible tells us there, it says, I speak not of you all, I know who I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. Notice what Jesus says as he begins identifying him again, begins outing Judas. He describes him in an interesting way. He says, the one that will betray me is one that has eaten with me, one that has sat down at the table and dined with me, but this man, even though he has dined with me, even though he has sat at the table with me, he said, he will lift up his heel against me. Even though he has dined with me, he will kick me in the stomach. He will kick me even though I have died. And again, you know, it was especially true in that time. It's still true in our time. That to dine with somebody, when you have a meal with somebody, you typically, you only dine, you only have meals with those who you are close to, those who you have a relationship with. Ordinarily, most of us don't go to the restaurant and just look around and go sit down at a random table and say, how you doing? I think I'm going to eat here. We dine with those who we are close to. And so the first thing I want you to notice about this this man who was a follower of Jesus and yet was hanging, let's say he was hanging around Jesus, but he was not a follower of Jesus. This caused Jesus great spiritual pain. This caused him great spiritual pain. I wonder if we have ever thought about that aspect of the crucifixion of Christ, the amount of mental and spiritual anguish that he went through at that time, not just the physical pain. The physical pain, while we can't even begin to completely understand it, I think most of us can, we can understand to some extent physical pain. But I don't think we have any comprehension of the spiritual pain, that the mental anguish that Jesus Christ bore, that he went through, knowing that one that had dined with him would also betray him. And I wonder today, as I take that thought and move it forward a few thousand years, I wonder as Jesus sits on his throne today and looks at the church and looks at those who are hanging around the church, hanging around Christianity, carrying a big Bible, singing in the choir, working in Sunday school, reading in Bible school, all those things that they are hanging around Christianity, they're hanging around the church, but are not genuine followers of Jesus Christ. I wonder, as he looks at our society, and you know, I just tell you the truth, this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who fought and died for our freedom, even in the midst of coronavirus, I'd rather be in America than anywhere in the world. We are more blessed, even in the midst of a pandemic, than any other place on the face of this earth. We are the most blessed generation, the most blessed nation in history. There is nothing to compare when we look around and see. Real simple. Some of you may be scratching your head on that. For example, the whole world has got corona. Is there any nation in the world you would want to be in getting care for corona other than the United States? I don't think so. And so even at our worst, even at the time when we are arguably in the worst predicament that perhaps since World War II or back to 1918 with the Spanish flu, even at our worst, we are blessed beyond measure. And I wonder sometimes if Christ looks at the United States and He looks at the church in America and He looks at those who are hanging around but are not followers of Jesus Christ, and His heart is broken. And His heart is broken. There are those all over our nation today, most in parking lots, just like this. Many watching online. All over our nation, a handful, maybe inside actual church somewhere. And they're putting on a good show. They're hanging around like Judas, but the truth of the matter is they're kicking him in the stomach. They're not really followers of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the anguish and the pain that our decisions, our life, often cause Jesus Christ? It's staggering to stop and think. Just like Judas, we dined at the table of Jesus. Just like Judas, we have dined. We have dined this morning as we have worshiped together, as we have sang together, as we have looked at the Word of God together. We have dined together. We are at the very feet of Jesus. But has our life changed? Think for a moment about the spiritual pain, the anguish that Jesus endured in looking at this man Judas, and later even those who were his genuine followers, as Christ is arrested, and they one denies him, and the others the rest flee off into the darkness. Can you imagine the pain of Jesus Christ as He looks at His followers and their actions, their attitudes? We see not only in Judas, we see not only our actions cause the pain to Jesus Christ, but there's also here a surprising perception. Look what Jesus says beginning in verse 19. Now I tell you before it comes. Jesus said, before it happens, I'm going to tell you what happens. I'm going to tell you ahead of time what's going to take place. He says that when it come to pass, you will believe that I am He. Jesus says to His disciples here, He says, I'm about to tell you something. And I think what Jesus was probably thinking to Himself was, over the next 48, 72 hours, there's such crazy things going to happen that your mind is going to be blown. But in a few days, I want you to remember these words. You ever told anybody something like that? You ever told somebody something like, mark it down. Remember, on this day, I told you so-and-so. I think that's kind of what Jesus was doing here. He's saying, on this day, you mark it down. I'm telling you what's going to happen. So that in a few days, when you remember what I said, and the accuracy of what I said, you'll know that I was the Christ. What's He going to tell them? He tells them in verse 20, here it is. He says, let me get on the right page. The wind's not helping me this morning. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And so Jesus goes on and says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. I can only imagine that every mouth in the room, perhaps except Judas, their mouth fell open. Their eyes got big. As Jesus has just said, one of you 12 who have been with me for the previous 3 years, who has followed me, who has walked with me, one of you will betray me. And we know what happened. The Bible tells us here that the disciples began to look around and say, yeah, most of them ask, is it me? They were so unbelieving that it could, yeah, they thought it could even be them, and they didn't realize it. And so Jesus here displays this perception. Jesus was not taken by surprise. He was not shocked whatsoever. Even from the beginning, as he began to assemble these disciples. Listen, here's what Jesus tells. What Jesus says to these disciples is, yeah, again, they were so blown away by this statement. They thought, well, it could be me. I may be the one that's going to betray Jesus. Who in the world could it be? And Jesus says, oh, I know. I know exactly who it is. Here's my point from that text. Is if we were to look around the average church, not just our church, but if you were to go into the average church and stand up and say, one of you is not a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, in all likelihood, there'd be about the same reaction. People would be looking around thinking, who could it be? Yeah, who is it? Where is he? Where is she? Here's what I want you to understand. Based on the story of Judas, you may fool your preacher. You may fool your mama. You may fool your deacons. You may fool your co-workers. They may think that you are the closest thing to Jesus to ever walk this earth. But God sees your heart. God knows you. You can pretend to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Judas put it off for 3 years. Judas walked with them. They trusted him so much, they allowed him to keep their money. I don't know that there's a greater sign of trust that we could exercise than to tell someone, here, keep my money. They trusted Judas that much. When Jesus says, one of you will betray me, not one person in that room turned around and looked at Judas and went, been thinking you was a bad guy. I knew it. When Judas got up and left the room, not one disciple said, I told you. They were all surprised. Judas had fooled everyone in that room but Jesus. This morning, I don't know whether you're tuning in on Facebook or YouTube. I don't know if you're sitting in this parking lot. You may watch this later on a recording. But here's the reality of this story. You may, like Judas, be able to fool 99.9% of the people. You may be able to fool 100% of the people into believing that you are a disciple, a follower, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. But this story reminds us that God sees the heart. We measure believers many times on how busy they are in the church. We measure believers many times by how much they give to the church. We measure believers many times by how often they attend church. But the reality is, you can be at church every day. You can give every penny you have. You can fulfill every job in the church. You can get you a cot and move in the church. You can cook breakfast out here in the fellowship building. You can never leave the church. Just stay there for the rest of your born days and die lost and separated from God. Judas is walking, breathing proof of that statement. 11 of the 12 disciples believed Judas was a genuine disciple. But Jesus says, He's a traitor. He's a traitor. The perception of Jesus. We not only see the pain, the perception, but I want you to see then this prophecy that Jesus makes. Jesus then goes on and says, he was troubled in his spirit. Verily, I say unto you, one of you will betray me. And here we have the disciples looking at one another, doubting. They didn't even believe. It wasn't that they didn't know who it was. They didn't even believe. They thought Jesus was wrong. That's how much Judas had the disciples, the rest of the disciples, fooled. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. We believe that to be John, the author of the text. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. Imagine that. Simon Peter was the one instigating here. He nods at John and says, hey, John, ask him who he's talking about. And so Jesus said, and John, so the one lying on his breast, again we believe to be John, says, Lord, who is it? That's how John, the one whom Jesus loved, the one who arguably we could say was the closest, him and or Peter, were the tightest with Jesus. They did not know that Jesus, that Judas was a betrayer. And Jesus said, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. A sop. Any of you here, his grandma, great-grandma, or maybe you ever sopped anything? Got my people. All right. If you don't know what it means to sop something, one of two things is probably true. You're either probably under about 30, or you ain't from around here. You probably from a little further north. But the sop is simply when you get done eating and you take your biscuit and you got some gravy or some juice floating around in your plate and you take a piece of that biscuit and you sop it up. Got my pee. That's the best part of the plate right there. That's sopping up. And in their time, that was kind of a honor. If we were sitting at dinner and I was to take and I was to sop up the gravy, the juice, if I was to sop it up and I was to give that to you, that was a position, that was an honor. Yeah. You didn't do that for your enemy. You gave that sop to the person, the honored person at the table. And so I want you to see that. I believe this offer of the sop to Judas was Jesus' final reach to Judas. Judas already knew what was on his mind. He was already considering betraying Jesus. And yet Jesus washed his feet, loved him, and now gives him the honored sop at the dinner table. Judas, what will you do? What will you do now that Jesus has showed and told you he knows what you're doing? I'm sure Judas thought for a moment. He was operating in secrecy. He was slipping around. But now Jesus has made it abundantly clear. One of you will betray me. Which one? The one to whom I give the sop. And he sops it and he hands it directly to Judas. Judas, what will you do now that the master has stooped and washed your feet? Judas, what will you do now that the master has honored you? Of all the men at the table, John, whom Jesus, the Bible says, loved, laying on his shoulder. Peter, who we know the relationship. Of all the men there, Jesus looks at Judas and says, here. Judas, what will you do? Judas, what will you do now that you have been honored in such a way? Now that you have been called out as a traitor. But even as a traitor, Jesus gives you honor. Judas, what will you do? I think that's a question that has to be answered in this parking lot this morning. That's a question that has to be answered online this morning. What will you do? Will you continue? Judas has to sit there. And he has to decide. At that moment, he has washed my feet. He has given me the sop, the honor. He has to decide, will he get up and walk out of that room and carry out his plan? Will he? He hasn't done it yet. He hasn't betrayed Christ yet. He's got a contract. He's got a deal struck. But he hasn't carried it out. Judas, what will you do? You got to decide. Are you going to scrap those plans for the one who washed your feet? For the one who honored you? Or are you going to go through with it? There's some of you this morning sitting in this parking lot. There's some of you this morning of the hundreds who will watch online who have to make that very same decision. Who have to make that exact same choice. What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? What am I going to do? Am I going to continue on this road? Judas, are you going to continue down the road you started on, this road of betrayal, this road of death? Are you going to continue on it? Are you going to change and you're going to become a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? There are some of you this morning that need to answer that question. You've got everyone else fooled. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus says, I know who my sheep are. My sheep, they know my voice. And they hear my call. Do we know his voice? Do we hear his call? Look at the purpose, finally, in verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered him. We see Judas's decision. And then said Jesus, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy the things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Jesus' purpose, I believe, was very simply this. For 3 years, Jesus has walked with Judas. Or Judas has walked with Jesus, I guess I should say. For 3 years, Judas has saw the miracles. He has heard the teachings. Judas, like Peter and John, has seen Jesus walk on the water. Judas, like the other 11, has seen him calm the storms. Judas, like the other 11, have watched as he called Lazarus out of the tomb. Judas, like the other 11, have watched Jesus say to the lame, rise up and walk. Judas, like the other 11, have watched as Jesus said to the blind, here is your sight. Judas, like the other 11, have watched as Jesus said to the leper, go your way, you are clean. Judas, like the other 11, have watched Jesus as he said to the deaf, here is your hearing. And finally, Judas is brought to the point where he is handed that sop and he is told, whatever you're going to do, do it. Do it quickly. Get it over with. Whatever you're going to do, do it now. And I say the same thing to you this morning. Whatever you're going to do, do it now. We're not able this morning to have a typical church invitation, either for those here or those watching through video. But that's all right. Right where you sit, I say to you, as Jesus said to Judas, whatever you're going to do, do quickly. Do quickly. I don't believe, and part of the reason I say do it quickly is because time is running out. Not just, listen, the reality is that every one of you, you're now 7 days older than you were last Sunday when we gathered. The reality is we are surrounded by an invisible virus enemy. The reality is death is always just around the corner. The reality is Jesus is just around the corner. I believe, as I've said before, I believe the return of Jesus Christ is so close that Gabriel is standing off to the side, licking his lips, getting ready to blow the trumpet. I believe I could not finish. I believe it could be so soon that I don't even finish this message. What you do, do quickly. Are you going to continue to be a hanger around? Are you going to continue to be like Judas and look like a disciple? Go where the disciples go. The reality is you've never become a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Right where you sit, whether here in this parking lot, whether under the shade trees, whether by video online, right where you are, all you have to do is simply ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins and to save you. I know of people who have been saved in the backs of ambulances being rushed to the hospital. I know of people that have accepted Christ laying in the hospital. There are men, we're celebrating this Memorial Day weekend, there are men and women who have accepted Jesus Christ on the battlefield. There are men and women all around the world who have accepted Jesus Christ through a little green, little camouflage Gideon Bible on a battlefield somewhere. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be in a pew. You don't have to be on an altar. There are churches all over the world today, some of them meeting under trees, some of them meeting in hiding. Right where you are, what you do, do quickly. What you do, do quickly. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, would you simply ask Him into your life right now? The majority of people who are watching, the majority of people who are here in this parking lot, you know Christ. You know Him as your Savior. Can I ask you this, to make this, to take this challenge with me this morning? You know, here's something that strikes me as unusual about the 12 disciples, is it appears that no one could tell the difference in the 11 and Judas. There is nothing about the 11 disciples that made everyone else go, ah, Judas, he isn't quite like the other 11. I want to ask you this morning, again, here in the lot, on the internet, to pray a very simple prayer this morning. Lord, help me to look so much like Jesus that the world can tell I'm one of His. I don't know if it's good or bad, but all of you, you know, I get it all the time. I hear it all the time. I've heard it since he was a child. Caleb looks just like you. And I always tell people he's a lucky boy. You know what? I get told all the time, oh, you can't deny him. Oh, I can. I do. This doesn't work. Lord, let me be so much like Jesus that he can't deny me. God, let me Let me act so much like Jesus that people don't have to wonder whose child I am. Lord, let me love so much like Jesus that people don't have to wonder if I'm one of His. You know, when people meet me, and many of you, no one has ever asked me, you know, it sounds like you might be from New Jersey. Never once has that happened. You don't have to talk to me long. I remember when I was at the bakery, I was in the mountains one time in my territory, and they told me, they said, we can tell you're not from around here. And I said, well, how's that? They said, you don't talk like us. I said, really? They said, yeah, you say y'all. We say yuns. So you're a flatlander. That's what they called me, a flatlander. God, let my talk be such that people know I'm a follower. Let my actions, my deeds, let people know I'm a follower. Isn't it a shame that nobody could tell that Judas was any different than the 11? Isn't it a shame that many of us will go to work, we'll go into our neighborhoods, we'll go into our communities, and nobody will be able to tell we're any different than anyone else. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for allowing us this privilege to gather this morning. God, in our mind, it's not perfect. In our mind, it's not ideal. But God, I believe with all my heart that you are still on the throne and you are still in charge. And God, you have organized, you have allowed the events of this time to put us here, to put us in this order, to put us in this place in this way for your purpose. God, there's someone this morning in this parking lot. There's someone this morning watching on the internet. God, who needs to become a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, who needs to pray that prayer asking you to save their soul. God, there are many more who are watching, who are here, who need to pray a very simple prayer. Lord, make me different. Lord, make me different. Let my Christianity, let my walk with you show in everything I do, in everywhere I go. God, help me to be that kind of believer. Help me to be that kind of Christian. Well, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, again, remind you, we'll be out here again at least next week, rain or shine. I got a roof over me and you got windshield wipers. And so rain or shine, we will be here in the parking lot at least next week. Again, I appreciate it if you give me your feedback. Many of you have on how you feel. Again, when we go inside, we're going into that building, not that one. So I don't know if that changes your outlook any at all. So appreciate your feedback there. Again, if you will this week, download the go to your app store and download the Share Faith app. When it comes up, tell it your ministry is PGBC Concord. It's a great little app. It'll help us communicate with you. Remember that this week. All right. One other thing. Don't run me over. One thing.